And I'll be honest, in the few months we've been here, we've had some people complain about the winter already, and this is fantastic. This is like t-shirt weather in Northern Ontario, I'm going to be honest. It's good stuff. Just before we get into the message, I would like to just address the fact that our platform is taking shape, right? It's looking good. I want to thank Pastor John and those that have been involved in it. They're doing a fantastic job. I will say, I realize that for some of you that are maybe vertically challenged, that screen's maybe a little low. We are aware of that. And there are new screens on the way. They got here this week and they sent us the wrong screens. So yeah, it's going to take a little bit longer, but there will be two screens at the side, and they'll be lots high enough for you, okay, for those of you that have challenges with height. And we do want to accommodate you, okay, and make it work for you. Anyways, I'd really like us just to stop and pray before we get into today's message. Father, thank you so much for your word. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Come, Lord, and meet us, your people. Thank you. God, you are just so good. You're so loving. Thank you. May you speak to us, not just in our mind, but may you speak through the depth of our being, God, that we would be changed today and like you, Jesus, because we love you so much and we desire to be like you. Thank you. We pray this, Jesus, in your beautiful name. Amen. Amen. Well, today I'm going to speak to you about kingdom culture, and this is actually going to be the last part of our series. And today I want to talk about honor and freedom and how those two things work together. Last week, I really felt God talking to me for us as a church that he is bringing freedom for us. And so I want to look a little more closely at how those two things work together, honor and freedom, and just how those two things interact. C.S. Lewis said this, he wrote this. He said, God created things which had free will. That means creatures which can go wrong or right. Some people think that they can imagine a creature which was free but had no possibilities of going wrong, but I can't. If a thing is free to be good, it's also free to be bad. And free will is what made evil possible. Why then did God give them free will? Because free will, though it makes evil possible, is also the only thing that makes possible any love or goodness or joy worth having. A world of automata, of creatures that worked like machines, would hardly be worth creating. The happiness which God designs for his higher creatures, in the happiness of being freely, voluntarily united to him and to each other in ecstasy of love and delight, compared with which the most rapturous love between a man and a woman on this earth is mere milk and water. And for that, they've got to be free. Of course, God knew what would happen if they used their freedom the wrong way. Apparently, he thought it was worth the risk. God thought it was worth the risk to give us free will. And so freedom and free will work together. Freedom is this. Freedom allows us to be who we are. That's what real freedom looks like in a kingdom culture. It allows us to be who we are. It allows us to be the way that we are and to still find love, grace, and forgiveness. So to be who we are, the way we are, and still find love, grace, and forgiveness. Freedom, though, involves risk. True freedom involves risk. And many times we try to mitigate the risk by creating rules, by creating laws. We try to mitigate the risk. I mean, just we do it in the natural world. Our government, we have seatbelt laws, right? Why do we have seatbelt laws? To reduce the risk of injury. And now, you're free to not wear your seatbelt, of course, but we would know that in that instance, the restriction of your freedom is actually a good thing for you. It generally protects you, right? The difficulty is that within the kingdom of God, is that God actually looks to set us free, to be free from rule and law. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. There's a scripture, of course, in Galatians, which I don't have a screen for you, but the scripture says that it was for freedom that he sent us free, that he set us free. And we're going to talk just a little more deeply about why we're set free, because I think many of us think we're unsure why we're set free. We're like, oh, he just set us free, so I'm free, and I'm free. Now what? Well, there actually is a point to the freedom. There is a purpose and a point to the freedom, which I think is described for us in 2 Corinthians 3. So if you have your Bible and you want to turn there, 2 Corinthians 3, we're going to read from verse 7 to 18. It says this, "Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone," talking about the Ten Commandments, "came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." There is a relationship between God's glory and freedom. God set us free, right? It's for freedom that God set us free, so that we could come into, experience the glory of God that he has for us, the glory that transforms us into his image in ever-increasing glory. So there's this relationship between God's glory and freedom. You have Moses, the lawgiver. Moses experienced a measure of God's glory that faded, right? It was a measure of God's glory. The law that brought condemnation still carried with it the glory of God. The law still carried the glory of God, even though it brought condemnation. That's an incredible thought. God's glory is so powerful, so full, that even that which brought condemnation to mankind still carried with it his glory. You see, if we insist on making faith about laws and about rules, about a form, if we insist on making faith about a form, that it has to look a certain way all the time, if we insist on making it things that are written in stone, we will only experience a measure of God's glory, like Moses. It will fade. I found that in my own personal walk, but also in pastoring, that many people get very uncomfortable with the idea of complete freedom. Because they say, wait a minute. If I'm completely free, then I'm free to do wrong. Don't you already? It was for freedom that Christ set us free. And in freedom, then, there is a relationship between glory and freedom. We get to encounter, to experience the glory in a way that was not experienced in the law. It doesn't fade. It surpasses. And it remains forever, it says. Moses stood in the presence of God, and God's glory permeated even into his very physical being, so that it says that his skin shone light. But now, it says that the Spirit lives in us. So the same Spirit that permeated him from the outside in now lives in us. And that Spirit is in the process of transforming us into the likeness of Christ. Now it goes from the inside out, or it's meant to. But law, rules, or form will cause it to fade. Put the veil back in place in a way that is never meant to be. We're meant to be completely free in the Lord. The word glory means splendor or brightness. It actually has a few different meanings. It also means an exalted state, and it's also used to mean judgment or opinion. Let me ask you, what is God's opinion of you? It says that the ministry of the Spirit is righteousness. What is God's opinion of you? The word righteousness means to be in a state or form that is acceptable to God. His opinion of you, that's what it means. It means you're his favorite. That's right, Ernie. So it means his opinion of you is that you are acceptable to him. His opinion of you is that he loves you. He accepts you. You are his favorite. You are meant to live in the glory of God, to experience it. And there is a relationship between freedom and glory. When you know that you're acceptable to God, it frees you from the law. Our hearts shift from needing to follow, right? From needing to follow the law or rules to being accepted. Because that is one way that a form that we often take. It's like I follow these rules, I follow these laws, and then I know if I'm right or I'm wrong, if I'm in or I'm out, if I'm acceptable or unacceptable. So our heart is actually meant to shift from needing to follow the law to be accepted to wanting to live a life that pleases God because we know we're loved. You see, it isn't about throwing off the rules. It isn't about just saying everything goes, although Scripture does say everything is permissible. But not everything is beneficial. It's not about throwing off the rules. It's about the recognition that this now, it is no longer about the rules being imposed on us from the outside in. It's about allowing God to change us from the inside out. That's what freedom is meant to look like. God is free, right? The Lord is completely free, and God's freedom is actually meant to affect and influence our free will. We were created free just like he is. It's meant to affect and influence our free will. Freedom is incredibly important to God. It's incredibly important into his kingdom, as a part of his kingdom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. His very presence provides freedom. The reason that we have free will is because God himself is free. Our free will is a gift from God. Your free will is a gift from God. Your free will is a gift. We're not always sure about that, are we? Because people use their free will to hurt one another, to damage, to sin, to bring incredible amounts of destruction into the world. But understand, your free will is a gift from him. Because he himself is free. And we're made in his image. We are meant to exercise our free will. Well, we do exercise it. We're meant to understand that our free will is ours. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Free will is a gift from God. Someday, see, heaven is going to be the most free place we'll ever experience, right? We'll be free from sin, we'll be free from worry, free from burden, free from disease, free from struggle. But understand this, when you get to heaven, your free will remains. your free will remains in heaven. Which is a little confusing because we're like, wait a minute, I use my free will to make bad choices. Okay, but not only bad choices, right? Because God himself is free. Psalm says that God does as he pleases. Don't you? You're like, well, I think so. I think I do. Sometimes I feel obligated. Right. There's nothing wrong with obligation. Depends where it's what's driving it. Are you obligated out of love? Are you obligated because you need to follow a rule to know whether you're right or you're wrong? Freedom looks like being obligated out of love. God wants us to experience increasing freedom here, just like we would in heaven. Freedom in our will, but freedom from struggle and difficulty and disease. Freedom from sin. You are free from sin. You should be really happy about that. I'm just being honest. Yeah. You are free from sin. Right? And there's something in you that goes, but I don't feel free. But it's for freedom that you're set free. The fact that you don't feel free is an issue of not having encountered the full glory of God. Which surpasses the law. It's important for us to know and to actually believe that our free will is a gift from him. Even though we would recognize that there's a risk involved in that. And I've noticed in years of pastoring that many times what happens in churches is we take on rules and laws to try and mitigate the risk of people hurting one another, but what we're actually doing is often restricting the freedom that they can have in the Lord. Sometimes we ask God to take control. And we would even, you know, find scripture to back it up that God's sovereign. Sometimes we ask God to take control, but let me tell you, I would encourage you and challenge you with this, that God actually doesn't want to be in control of you. God does not want to be in control of you. He does not want to be in control of the person next to you. He doesn't want to be in control. He wants you to be free. What's one of the fruit of the Spirit around control? Self-control. God doesn't want to control you. He wants you to have self-control. We're not marionettes on strings. We're not puppets. We're free as he is. And he desires us to have the fruit of the Spirit, to have self-control. The law looks to control externally. And most often the law is used to control other people as well. But the Spirit wants to bring freedom, and a part of freedom is self-control. When you know you're acceptable to God, it frees you from the law. So your heart shifts from needing to follow the law to be accepted to wanting to live a life that pleases him because you know that you're loved. This is a work of the Spirit in our lives. God's freedom is meant to affect and influence our free will. When our will is surrendered to his will, we are in the best position possible to experience and carry his glory. His glory, the manifest fullness of who he is here on the earth. When we're talking about God's glory, I find that's the best way to describe it, the manifest fullness of who he is on the earth. When God's glory shows up, Jesus carried God's glory in fullness. And what was it like when Jesus was around? Good things happened. miracles, people were set free, right? Demons were cast out. People would often just be excited to see Jesus because they recognized that that heaven, the glory, was showing up with him. We're meant to carry the glory of God and to be free to carry it. If we make it about following the rules, doing things right all the time, it really gets in the way of us carrying the fullness of God. I don't know about you, but when I make my life about rules, I'm busy looking at all the ways I'm failing, right? But when I focus on the fact that I'm just accepted by him, it doesn't mean that I throw off all the rules. When I make that the emphasis of my life, I am loved and accepted by him. My heart wants to follow the rules. And then I'm positioned to surrender my will to his. And in surrendering my will to his, I'm best able to then carry the fullness or the glory of God. God wants to use you to carry his glory. We just read a whole bunch of scripture about it in 2 Corinthians. God wants to use you to carry his glory, the manifest presence of God here on earth. So what does all this have to do with honor? Honor, right, of course, honor is to value someone for who they are without stumbling over who they're not. So in a kingdom culture where honor and freedom are both valuable to God, what it means is that we embrace both honor and freedom. And the way that those two, so we value people for who they are without stumbling over who they're not. One of the ways that we can do that, to value someone for who they are without stumbling over who they're not, one of the ways that we do that is this understanding and belief that we, each and every one of us, are free. And part of freedom is that the Spirit desires to bring self-control. It's not your job to control somebody else. It's not your job, husbands, to control your wives. Wives, it's not your job to control your husbands. The Spirit of God is supposed to bring control. We have to embrace the fact that the only person... You have to embrace this. The only person that's actually in charge of you is you. God doesn't want to control you. He wants to set you free. Now, we understand he's the Lord and that he's sovereign. A part of freedom, when you come into freedom, right, when you're no longer following law, is the understanding that, you know what, I'm loved and accepted, so I actually want to follow the rules. I don't know if I've used this illustration a lot over the years. I think I might have used it here already. Right, Angela and I have been married a number of years. Angela doesn't have to tell me the rules about marriage, not normally. Once in a while, I need a tune-up. But Angela doesn't have to say to me, now, you know, Blair, don't forget, you should be faithful to me. She doesn't have to tell me because I love her. Because I love her, I just know. And I just follow it. It's meant to work the same with the Lord. We should never look to control one another. Honor doesn't allow us that option to control each other. It doesn't mean that we can't challenge one another. It doesn't mean that we can't speak truth to one another and correction. Absolutely. But when you speak it, then you let that person make their own choice. And you don't stumble over it when they make the wrong choice. You say, I'll continue to love you regardless of the choice that you make. I'll continue to support you. I'll continue to try and help you. Because isn't that what God does for us? So we encourage one another deeper into the Spirit. And it's the Spirit that produces self-control. The fact is this, is if God controlled everyone, there'd be no need for grace. If God controlled everyone, there'd be no need for love. Freedom requires us to have grace and love for God, from God and for each other. And as a church, when we embrace freedom, it means that we also have to embrace honor, grace, and love. It has to be more than what we just talk about. It has to be who we actually are. And what I've noticed is that when we embrace these things, when we embrace freedom, bad behaviors will start to happen because God will bring them out to the front to be dealt with. Sometimes things will get a little bit messy. In general, that's what we don't like, and that's why we put the rules in place in the first, you know, to begin with, is to try and mitigate the risk. Here's what I've noticed when we do that, is that we actually encourage hypocrisy. So people will behave properly when together, but differently when apart. As opposed to allowing the Lord to bring freedom to deal with it and set free. God gave us free will. He permits us to choose poorly. Freedom is related to glory, to His splendor in our life. To embrace freedom for ourselves and others means that we have to make room for one another. We have to make room for grace and for love and for honor. And in that, what that means is that it allows failure. You are allowed to fail. That makes some people really uncomfortable. But I mean, let's be honest. Don't you already fail? You don't? Yes! Good. Keep that up. So I will say this. You know, because sometimes people get really nervous at this, you know, you're allowed to fail. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You're like saying that people are allowed to do whatever they want. If that's what you're hearing, the answer to that would be yes and no. People are allowed to do whatever they want. That's the point of free will. But if people are truly free and they're free from the law, right, then what it's supposed to produce in us, because we love Jesus, it's supposed to produce in us that in our heart that we actually want to live a life that pleases Him. And so we just follow the law. We just follow the rules. We have free will. I want to speak for a moment. I want to speak to the kids and to teenagers. Let me tell you something. Free will is a gift from God for you. It isn't the liberty to go and do whatever you want. Sometimes we think that's what freedom means. I get to do whatever I want, whenever I want. Let me tell you something. I didn't grow up a believer, and I made a lot of bad choices. Many of them that carried with me into my adult life. I wish I had the advantage of growing up in a church where I was taught that God wants me to exercise self-control instead of being out of control. Do you? Why is that, sir? Okay. I can appreciate that. Thank you. I appreciate that. And that I would just take as God working all things together for good, as I love Him. Thank you, because that brings grace to it for teenagers, knowing that even in the mistakes they make, God will work them back together for good for you. See, free will is a gift for us. So I'd encourage you to use the gift well. To make good choices, not only for your own life, but for each other. When you accept and receive that God, that you actually can't control anyone else, and that you're not actually meant to control anyone else, what it does is it sets you free to then love them for exactly who they are. Thanks. For who they are, for where they are in their life. It allows you to show grace to people who maybe don't live with the same values as you, but you value them without stumbling over who they're not. Honor allows us to be free to choose whatever we want without judgment or condemnation from one another. It's the law that brought condemnation and still carried glory with it, but the Spirit sets us free. Love doesn't mean, right, that you approve, but it remains even when people choose poorly and hurt you. Whenever someone acts in a way that is less than how Jesus would act, because that is the standard for each and every one of us, right? We're to act as Jesus would act. Whenever somebody acts in a way that is less than how Jesus would act, our response should be to pray for greater freedom in their life. Not God control them, God set them free. May they realize the freedom in their life that's already there. That we would actually speak freedom over them when they repent or when they're trapped in shame. That we would say to them, be free. Be free as God has made you free. Freedom looks like people allowing each other to be who they are, the way they are, and still finding love. Still inviting each other into more of the glory of God, of His splendor, His manifest presence in their life. We're going to take communion in a couple minutes. And there's scripture in... Oh, okay, that didn't keep up with me. Scripture in Hebrews 12 says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How much easier would it be to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that entangles if you actually believed you were free? You are free from sin. You're free from it. Right? So if you find yourself thinking, well, things hinder me, things burden, right? Things weigh me down. It can feel true. The truth is God desires to bring you into more freedom. And as He brings you into more freedom, you experience more of His glory, more of His manifest presence in your life. You are free. You are free to run the race God has for you. You don't have to run anybody else's race. You run yours. Sin no longer rules you, but the Spirit leads you. The Spirit leads you into right living, right thinking, right believing. That's why it's the ministry of righteousness. This is where the Spirit leads you. Jesus was the most free person to ever live. He was free from sin and at the same time free to be with those that sinned. He was free to love and to be loved. He joyfully chose to endure the cross for us. His free will He chose the cross. Right? What's he say in the garden? Father, if there's any other way, but not my will, I'll choose yours. Jesus chose this. He chose it with joy for you and me. And it says there that he took at the cross, he took the shame of the cross. Shame is the opposite of glory. Within the kingdom of God, shame is the opposite of glory. And I don't have enough time to get into all that. You'll just have to trust me. Shame is the opposite of glory. The reason, especially in our experience, shame imparts to us who we are. Not just, so shame would say, okay, I am going to get into it. Shame would say, shame wouldn't say I made a mistake. Shame would say you are a mistake. The glory of God says, doesn't just say you'll do right. The glory of God says you are right. Okay? You're right in Him. So He took the shame and He took it joyfully for us so that we are free to be like Him. So as we come to this moment of communion in just a minute, this is what I want us to focus on, is the fact that you can throw off that which hinders. You can throw off that which, the sin which entangles you. It is thrown off in Christ. That He chose for you. He chose the cross for you so that He could set you free from shame. He could set you free from the things that do hinder and entangle. He desires for us to be free in every way, just as He's free. You're free. Your free will is a gift from Him. It will go with you. We already know it's with us, but it'll go with you from this life into the next. Heaven is that free. And that's hard for us to understand because we're like, well, I just don't get it because I just use my free will for nothing but bad choices. That's not true. It just might feel like that sometimes. The truth is, right, you can be free to think right, to act right, and to believe right. That is the ministry of the Spirit. So let me say to you, if you believe that your free will only brings destruction into your life, and you say this to you, be free. Be free from that lie, because that is not true. That free will is a gift from Him that you can use to say, you know what, even in this moment when I'm tempted, or even in this moment when I want to be discouraged or I want to give up, I can make a choice to stand, to run the race that is marked out for me, to be free. You can make that choice. All right. It's getting restless in here, so let's get moving. You know what? I actually love having the kids in service. I'm going to be honest. I don't know how you feel about it. I love it. So, anyways, that's it. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. And thanks. And those that are serving communion, if you can get ready. As they're doing that, let's pray.